In Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 40, we have another example of a conversion. This is commonly known as or called the conversion of the jailer, and it included the conversion of his household. In chapter 16 here, we find in verse 30 a familiar passage in which Paul is confronted by the Philippian jailer. The jailer asks Paul and his companions, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You know, that's really an important question. Salvation from sin is our greatest need. It's mankind's greatest need. Paul would write in Romans 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So the answer must be according to God's word. So the answer given is often limited to what is mentioned in verse 31. "They responded to him and said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.'" A lot of denominations teach that that is the only response necessary. But that's without consideration of all that is said in this context. Without noting what else is taught elsewhere throughout the scriptures. If someone were asked today, "What must I do to be saved?" how would we reply? How should we reply? Should we limit our response to the words that we read only in Acts 16 and verse 31? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Well, let's consider first of all what is not mentioned. It's not mentioned here that there is a need to repent of sins. And yet Jesus wanted repentance to be preached in his name, according to Luke 24, verses 46 and 47. Jesus said there, "It is written, and thus it is necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And so the apostles often preached the need to repent of sins, just like Peter did in the first two sermons that we have a record of in Acts 2 and again in Acts 3. Just like Paul did in his sermon in Athens in Acts 17. So are we to conclude that repentance is not necessary because it's not mentioned here in this account of this conversion of the Philippian jailer? Another thing not mentioned is a need to confess Christ. And yet Jesus taught that it was necessary, that there was a necessity of confessing him before others. Jesus said in Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." And so the apostles often mentioned the importance of confessing Christ. Confessing with the mouth the Lord Jesus leads to salvation. Paul states in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we see here that confessing that Jesus is the Son of God leads to abiding in God. And we read also in 1 John 4 and verse 15 that whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So are we to conclude that because it's not mentioned here for this jailer to confess that it's not necessary simply because it's not mentioned here in this account? I want to suggest to you that we would be mishandling the scriptures to suggest that people who want to be saved, that it's not necessary for them to repent or to confess just because it's not mentioned here in this account. But what is mentioned? Well, we see here that it's mentioned that he is to believe on the Lord. The jailer was told to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me, chapter 16, verse 31. "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." This is consistent with what Jesus himself taught. He says in John 3 and verse 36 that believing in the Son is key to having eternal life. And he says in John 8 and verse 24 that unless we believe in him, we will die in our sins. And so the apostles often proclaimed the importance of faith in Jesus, that one might have life in his name. John 20 verses 30 and 31, there were the account of what we call doubting Thomas. Faith in Christ is so imperative when it comes to salvation because of what the Bible says about it. There was something else that was mentioned in this account of conversion: immediate baptism. We notice that the jailer and his family were baptized immediately. In Acts 16, verse 33 of our text, he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. This is similar to what we read elsewhere in other cases of conversion, like in Acts 2 and verse 42 with the 3,000 who were baptized on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 8, verses 35 through 38 with the Ethiopian eunuch who was baptized as soon as he saw water. And also in Acts 22 and verse 16, Paul was encouraged not to delay, but to be baptized. So why were they baptized immediately, even when it was after midnight? We know it was after midnight because of what is stated in verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And then we see in verse 33, just a few moments later, that he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Peter says it was immediate because it was for the remission of sins. Acts 2 and verse 38, why would we want to delay? In Acts 22 and verse 16, Paul was told to wash away his sins by being baptized. And he writes in Colossians 2 verses 11 through 13, that it was a cutting away of the body of sins. And Peter later wrote that it saves us through the resurrection of Christ, 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. When one sees what is revealed about baptism in the New Testament, hopefully we can understand why it was received as soon as possible by those who heard the gospel. And then there's something else that was included: his household. Some look at this and they appeal to the mention of the household to explain infant baptism, that infants were included in the baptism. And yet the text states that Paul spoke the word of God to all who were in his house, implying that all who were able to listen and understand what was being said in verse 32. The jailer rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. In other words, everyone believed. That implies the ability of all who heard to believe what was being said in verse 34. Now, there's nothing here to preclude what we have already concluded as a necessary requirement as a subject qualified for baptism. We've seen a repentance in Acts 2 and verse 38. We've seen a wholehearted faith in Acts 8 and verse 37. And when we talk about this, infants are incapable of faith and repentance. And nothing in the text implies that infants were in the household of the jailer. Why does Paul only mention faith in answer to the question of Acts 16 and verse 31? Well, because the jailer, the answer takes into consideration one's spiritual state or condition. And for the jailer, he first needed to be told to believe in Jesus. For the 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, they already believed by the time they asked their question. So faith is not mentioned in this text, but it is implied in other places, like in Acts 2, verses 36 and 37. And what answer should we give to those today who would ask us, what must I do to be saved? Well, I believe our answer depends upon what their spiritual state or condition is. If they have yet to believe in Jesus, then they need to believe in him. In Acts 16 and verse 30, he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" If they believe in Jesus, then they need to repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of their sins. That's what we've seen in Acts 2 in verse 38. That's what is recorded for us in Paul's conversion in Acts 22 and verse 16. And Paul writes about this in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. And he also writes in Galatians 3, beginning in verse 26, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Our answer should involve all that's found in the Word of God. Paul proceeded to speak the word of the Lord to the jailer and his family. In verse 32, "Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house." And it's evidently obvious here that that included the need to be baptized immediately. And then in verse 33, as we've already noted, "He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized." A proper answer to "what must I do to be saved" is going to take into consideration both the spiritual state of the inquirer and all that the Word of God reveals on the subject. So let me ask you, have you responded to what the Bible teaches regarding salvation in Christ? Have you been baptized according to the Word of God? Have you received salvation according to the Word of God? If not, I would be more than happy and willing to sit down and discuss with you what God's Word requires us to do. If you disagree with this lesson, and it's a great possibility that you do, then I would love to sit down and discuss with you what God's Word says. But don't come with me what Pastor so-and-so says or what you've always been told. Show me book, chapter, and verse for why you believe what you believe and why you think I'm wrong. Then we'll have a discussion about what God's Word says, and we'll discuss our differences. You can look me up on Facebook. You can look me up on the church's website. You can visit with us at Eastside this morning. We'll have Bible classes at 9 a.m. We're in the auditorium class. We're studying Matthew chapter 19 right now. Then we'll have worship service at 10 a.m., followed by an evening worship service at 5 p.m., and then midweek Bible study on Wednesday at 7 p.m., and again, the auditorium class there is studying in the book of Exodus, the great deliverance of the children of Israel out of captivity. If you'd like to look this lesson up and listen to it again, you can look it up on the church's website. That's church@eastside.com. And there you'll find the times of our services. You'll find articles that are written for your reading. You can leave messages there as well. Again, I want to thank you for being with me today, and I look forward to being with you next Sunday morning. Thank you.